Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 18. Yeah. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measurement of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is the leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving in the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Catherine. So, having heard that, and as Meg was saying, listening out for where God might be prompting us, we just want you to do that thing of turning to your neighbour and having a bit of a chat, and, you know, maybe just sharing with each other, where do you think God might have been nudging you or prompting you as you were listening to that? And as you're doing that, I'm going to invite our exciting panel up to take their places, but have a chat, see what God was doing as you were listening to that reading.
Alrighty, I'm going to break into your conversations. I hope that in just asking God together, is there a particular thing that he wants to say to us today? It's always good to approach, you know, what God says in the Bible expectantly. I love that I can read a passage again and again and something different will spring out each time. Anyone I've not met before, my name's Jenny. Great to see you here this evening. A bit daunted by being described as an exciting panel.
No pressure.
No pressure. Do you guys want to introduce yourself? Because you are known by many people here, but maybe not everybody. Do you want to just introduce who you are?
For sure. Evening all. My name's Andrew. And I never know how to introduce myself at this point in a church service. But Beck and I live across in Crystal Palace. We've been part of All Saints for the last few years. For work, I work as a lobbyist, which has not been a particularly honourable profession to be associated with for the past.
But like you work
months.
For a lobbyist for like
for the co-op, which I feel is
like
not,
yeah, exactly, you know, on the side of the good. Yeah.
I was about to say not like, and then I realised that was probably not a good sentence to finish, just in case I offended somebody. So that's me.
Yeah, and I'm Becky. Andrew said most of the introducing things. I work for a charity called Action Against Hunger, which is an international organisation. I've done that for the last couple of years. I don't know what else to say. That's me.
That's great. Thanks, guys, for being here. And the reason that you are up here is because God has been particularly stirring you and giving you a sense of kind of call in terms of this being a space where community is built, where welcome is found. So we wanted you to, and I know that you've been doing a lot of thinking and praying about that. Before we jump into that, because we've been asking all these guys how that passage spoke to them, I think the least we can do is answer that question too. Was there a phrase that just kind of hit for you today in the passage that Catherine wrote, read?
So Jenny gave us 10 seconds warning she was going to do this to open up the panel. Have you got yours? Oh, well, can you go first?
I don't know if it's worrying that this didn't jump out to me before or not, given we're talking about welcome and community, but it was verse 8. If the gift is to encourage, then let him encourage. And I would never have put that down as a classic gift of God, to be an encourager. But that popped out to me.
Yeah, I love that, yeah.
And for me, it's a different one. That's probably a good thing, isn't it? So the verse around practice hospitality, and I think the thing that has really been speaking to me as we've been reflecting on this passage is just how active all of those verbs are. Mm. But tonight, that practice hospitality, yes. you might not get it right the first time, but keep practicing.
Yeah.
Because it's something we can get better at. That was for me.
Yeah, I really like that.
How about for you, Jenny? We're going to put you on the spot
it's
too.
It's fair.
Come on.
It's fair. I think I noticed, actually the same verse, but the earlier part of it, share with God's people who are in need. Just thinking of the worldwide family of the church and all the amazing position we are in this country, the wealth we have in all sorts of different ways, and that call to share God's people who are in need. I mean, it's so full of just these things which God can really nudge us in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As we come on to talk to you guys about how God has been stirring you around this call to make this a community in that real sense of the word, we've also, over the last 3 weeks, gathered some symbols to symbolise the four foundations of our service. We have a lamp, which is about being a switched-on community switched on in prayer. We have some jam, which is... I realise, on reflection, that this takes a little bit more explaining. It's about us jamming with the word. Come back to me on that one afterwards. What have you brought? And tell us about your heart about welcome and community.
Great. So you might have noticed, as Meg looked at us to say, well, you know what tonight's about, right? What's the word that sums it up? There was a bit of discussion between us because we've actually been tussling over whether this is about welcome or whether this is about community, or whether it's about being a welcoming community, or a bit of both. Because really what our heart that we want to explore tonight and that we want to be at the foundation of the six is about how we make this our church community. What that means in terms of our welcome as we come through the door on a Sunday evening, whether we're coming in for the first time or the 100th time, but equally how we take that into the rest of our weeks as well. So I think there's something we're going to talk about tonight around the spiritual gifts that God gives us to make that possible, but also the importance of all of us coming and actively practicing them, and this being a space where we are welcome to grow in those gifts too. So before we get onto our symbol, I know quite a few of us have been finding the Lectio Daily Reflections a really helpful resource since they were released. And in what can only be described as God's timing, unless Jenny had an inside track and knew, over the past week, there was no track. So there we are. So in what can only be described as God's timing, the focus this week has been on hospitality. And I was so struck by one of the things that Pete Gregg said, I think it was on Wednesday, but don't quiz me on that, that I had to write it down. So, because it really just spoke to what it means to be a church family. And he said this: our unity is not based on believing the same things, that would make us a sect, nor behaving the same ways, that would make us a cult, but rather belonging to the same Father through unconditional acceptance of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a family.
Yeah.
And I just think he's got a fantastic way with words. That's much better than I could have written because it just sums it up so perfectly.
And that, my job to talk about the visual, which I'm slightly embarrassed about. If you have been coming along when Andrew talked about his gift of making bread, and he actually renounced buying shop-bought bread, and yet here is a shop-bought bread bought 5 minutes ago. But the reason that we chose bread as the symbol of kind of a community was that, as we're going to go on, and as in the passage, talks about how every member of the church has different roles, and Andrew wants to make a pun about bread rolls here.
Come on.
I don't appreciate his humour.
I like that. I mean, I said jamming, so, you know, everything.
We'll go with the different rolls we have in the church. And the bread has the salt, the sugar, the yeast, the flour, the water, maybe some butter. And individually, they all play very different roles and aren't very nice on their own, maybe sugar. But as they come together and are work together with the love of a baker, they come together to produce a loaf. And so that's why we have brought that to summarise what we feel community is.
Great, love it. I think there's another reminder about that activity as well, isn't it? That this isn't kind of a passive flour and salt and water all just sitting separately, but like they're actively engaged by, you know, the baker, by the Holy Spirit to kind of be worked together. I think what you picked up from the passage about being active in that is really key. I was just reminded of in the passage that we've just read, and how active it is and how practical it is, all these different ways that the community of Jesus are instructed to kind of bring their gifts together, to love each other, to never be lacking in zeal, but to keep their spiritual fervor, be patient in affliction. All these really practical applications come out of a circumstance where they are a people where welcome would have been up against all sorts of challenges, where being one community would have had some really significant challenges, not least the fact that the Roman Christians that Paul was writing to here were a church of Jews and Gentiles, of Christians, followers of Jesus, both from a Jewish background, so that people who, you know, had known the Torah, known the scriptures, Hebrew scriptures from their earliest days, had been like embedded in the traditions of the culture of the Jewish community, even in the language, and that was their background. And then there were Gentile believers whose religious background was totally different, whose cultural background was totally different, whose language was totally different, the things they did, the ways that they celebrated were totally different. But they were united in Jesus, as you were saying. It's only in Jesus that these two really different sets of people could be made one. And that's what we see happened in the early church. Because what happened in the early church was that sometimes people were kind of excluded from their family for turning to Jesus. Sometimes people were, you know, would have economic consequences. They might lose jobs or income. And so they were kind of... Their dependency on the church was not just a let's come once a week and have a nice time singing together. It's like we are dependent on our brothers and sisters in Jesus, even when we've got a really different cultural background, because this is our new family. I think sometimes in our culture today, we can see the language of family in the New Testament, and we may have really different experiences of family, some good and some bad. But I think when we describe the church as a family, it can be one of those things we think, oh yeah, that's nice. You know, that's nice. Sometimes we have a bring and share dinner. Sometimes we, you know, call each other on a weekday. But I think we miss on the how deep that is and how countercultural that was to the first followers of Jesus, and how that calls us to something beyond a Sunday. Sunday is great. We love to gather together. But let's be challenged by that language of family. I'm just turning to my notes here because I'm excited about what we're about to do. This is we're about to use something which is called Slido. Has anyone heard of Slido? One person. When Meg was asked to describe what this was this week, she said it's basically magic. This is how it seems to me. So we'd love to hear from your experiences about what makes a community a welcoming community. What does a welcoming community look and feel like to you? And the way we're going to do that, hopefully, have you got a phone with you? And has it got a QR code reader on it? Does the camera use QR codes? Have a little scan on this QR code.
This is the moment of truth, isn't it?
I mean, this is the moment of truth. This either will or won't work. Scan away. There you go. And it's going to ask you a question. It's going to bring something up and ask you a question. What does a welcoming community look like or feel like? We're just looking for maybe two or three words. Just to get a picture, and as if by actual magic, some words are going to appear. Let's see if this works.
Hey, look, it's already working.
I know.
How good is this?
Oh, there we go. Oh, here, love, yes. Or anyone else coming up?
Right, we've got some hands.
Love, friendship.
I was told a word cloud would appear at some point. Oh, Laura's got her hand up. Oh, no, she's sorted. Oh, well, okay. Oh, okay, thank you. The question wasn't there, now it is. Great, thank you. Food.
Yes.
Food, community. If you use the same word as somebody else, that's all right, because apparently it just comes up bigger. Does the...
Eating together's on there too.
Nice.
It's a common
thing. Oh, belonging is being used by more than one person. Yep. Courage. Oh, that's a great one. Takes courage to be in community, right? Acceptance. Cup of tea. Nice. Yeah. Authentic. Every single person welcome. Inclusive. Feeling genuinely wanted. That's a big deal, isn't it? It's like not just about your, you know, you can be here and you're passive. It's actually what you have has got something to contribute. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited that this is working. Thanks, guys.
We're going to have to use this again, aren't we? This totally. Is so good.
We'll give it another couple of minutes.
Yeah. Love that.
We'll read through some more of these in just a sec. Messy. I think a good community is messy. We don't mind if we have moments like this of, you know, pauses and chatting and stuff. Warmth of heart, no judgment, encourages. Going back to your verse, Becky. Bravery to speak to newbies.
I love how cup of tea is a big one.
Cup of tea, more than one person finds a cup of tea a welcoming thing. Honouring one another, laughter and good vibes. Warmth of heart, they're moving around now, unconditional, being seen, dependence, truth speaking, home. Acceptance, that one in the middle is one, open vulnerability, these are ones that more than one person has said. Belonging, inclusive, cup of tea, authentic. Thanks, you guys. I think we can capture this. Maybe we can put this on our social media and share. These are some of the things that you think help create a welcoming community. And we'd love to continue to kind of pray these in to this space. I'll just let those. We might come back to that in a bit. Sorry, I've just dropped my notes. Talk about being messy. So, Andrew.
Yeah.
Over to you.
Lovely. Meg, do you think we can leave that up on the screen? Because I just think it feels like almost something of a manifesto of the things that we want to be aiming for.
Yeah,
if that's tricky, don't worry. But if we can have it back up, that'd be great. I was just reflecting today. One of the things that's really enriched my reading of Romans is the book Phoebe by Paula Gooder. That serves me right for looking at my notes. I don't know if anyone else has read it. So Paula Gooder is a New Testament theologian. The book Phoebe is an imagined fictional novel of what it meant to be the early church as the letter of Romans was received. And there's so much in that that just brought it to life for me in a way that was really, really helpful. So I'm sure I've got a copy somewhere I can lend if that sounds interesting to anyone. But one of the things it really brought to life was, I guess, the mixing pot and the chaos of the early church and the fact that there was that sense of family, of everyone coming together, even in the face of all the dividing lines in society that would normally have prevented those people meeting. It was miraculous. Mm. It wasn't always plain sailing. People did disagree, they disagreed well. And I just thought, actually, there was so much of that that was encouraging to me and that I was reminded of as I just came back to this passage. So I thought, a bit of a recommendation, really, because I think it's so helpful as we study the Word to have resources like that to use.
Totally. I love that book. It's great to use our imagination to enter into the world of Jesus, as well as our, you know, our kind of rational minds, but just to kind of imagine and to dream and that sort of thing. So here we are, a community that is also a mix of backgrounds, people coming with different kind of cultures and expectations, people coming with different histories of faith, maybe some from recent histories of faith, maybe some of very long-standing histories of relationship with Jesus. Some of us might be kind of new to this particular service or this particular space or this particular church. Some of us might feel like this is ours and, you know, this is our space. So we're all, again, like a really mixed people. But we know that the work of God that he accomplished back in the day in the church in Romans to bring a really disparate group of people to make a messy, conflicted, definitely, you know, not always neat, not always slick community,
to make them one, he can do the same here. And that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen because we say it so in one service. It doesn't happen because we have one service about it. It happens because we're all bought in to the work that the Holy Spirit can do among us and can do within us. So, you guys, you've been thinking and dwelling on this for a while. How can we follow this model that Paul describes? How can we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do among us?
Yeah, I think there's a few things for me, but the first is that we should be encouraged by just how much emphasis Paul places on the importance of everybody playing their part, whether that's bringing gifts of teaching, of prophecy, of encouraging others, of leadership. And it's not just going to happen by chance. It's a really intentional thing, and it's really exciting, actually, what we've seen over the last couple of weeks of people standing up at the end and saying, yeah, like, that's a gift I feel like has been given to me, and I'm going to use that for the benefit of everybody in this community. And so I think that's the first part, is that we make that active choice to bless others with our gifts. And the second is around, I think, what makes us not just community, but a welcoming community, is the verses around love. And I think what you were saying around going deeper and thinking, we sort of say welcome, and I think we think of the hello at the back of church. And that's lovely. But for me, it goes so much deeper than that. It's not just the smile. I can't remember whether it was one of the ones on here about feeling genuinely wanted and some of the others, but it's going deeper. It's the welcome within the pews, within the seats, and within not just on a Sunday, it's through the week. And Paul gives some real practical applications of what that love looks like. It's hospitality, it's patience, it's being faithful in prayer, it's looking after those who have less than us. And so I think it's those things, those practical applications of love, that makes us a welcoming community. And thirdly, I think that can feel quite scary. And what makes us in this church different from another community, and it's using the power of the Holy Spirit to give us those gifts, to give us the gifts of patience, to give us the gifts of encouraging one another, and praying for that strength. And so I think as a community, that's what we have to do together, to go more than just the power we all have within ourselves.
I think, as you just said that, I was just thinking about that practice hospitality and thinking how, like in recent months, how we have been friends to one another, how we have been community to one another. Some of us know each other, some of us don't. But how we've known community among our friendship and friendship groups among our families has been really different. We've had to be creative. We've had to practice in different ways. I think, we've had to, we've embraced the kind of meeting someone in the park for a walk. We've embraced the kind of WhatsApps and the Zooms. So God has been kind of gifting us with different ways of practicing, and we've had to practice. We've had to practice, different ways of doing stuff. So, we're on that road. So let's continue with it. Let's continue with the creativity of the Holy Spirit to practice hospitality. Going to come to the congregation again. No Slido this time, I'm afraid. But I would love to share with you something that I noticed about this passage, which is there's this bit about gifts, which Becky pointed to. So I'm juggling like notes and a Bible. Grab a Bible if you've got one near you. There should be one in a chair near you. And the passage that we're looking at is on page 1139. And in the first half of the reading, you'll see that there are things like we have different gifts according to the grace that God gives us in prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving generously, leadership, showing mercy, all these different gifts. And it struck me how those different gifts all help do a different thing in creating the kind of community that Paul is writing to. So, for example, if someone has a gift of showing mercy, if someone's a very merciful person, they're gifted with that gift, then it helps do what we see in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse. So it kind of, there's a match between the gift and the outcome, if you see what I mean. If if someone has a gift of giving generously, then that contributes to the sharing with God's people who are in need or practicing hospitality. If someone has a gift of encouragement, that contributes to a situation where we rejoice with those who rejoice. Do you see how those two different parts of the passage, to me, feels like there's a bit of a mirror there? You guys have all got different gifts. Maybe God was nudging you about some of them, as you were asked earlier in the service, how God was just giving you a nudge in the ribs around this passage. How does your gift contribute to this community being a community characterized by God's welcome, which is extravagant and abundant and open-hearted? How does your particular gift, and you've probably got more than one of them, how do your gifts contribute to the community? And maybe you can pick it out from this verse. Maybe you're like, yeah, I've got a gift in showing mercy. I'm an encourager. Being an encourager, that transforms somebody's day if you're an encourager. Maybe you're like, yeah, I've got a gift of teaching. Or maybe it's another gift that's not listed here. Maybe you can pick out how that helps you contribute to the community that Paul describes. So I would love you to turn to a neighbor again and think together, how does the way God has gifted you contribute to making this a space where God's welcome is expressed? We'll have some music on so you can chat while there's a hubbub in the background. I'm afraid I'm going to cut your conversation short again. I'd have loved to keep you chatting, but I just want to collect up some of what you've said. So I wonder if anyone is courageous enough. Somebody up on our Slido said that being in community takes courage. Someone courageous enough to share either what they themselves feel God is gifting them for to make a difference in this community, or the person they were talking to. Andrew's going to run. Oh, someone over there. Someone's going to run around with this mic. Thank you.
Well, I'm quite a loud person, and I contribute quite a lot to any conversation that you'll have with me. And so I think that God has gifted me that so that I can then be loud, but then share what I'm thinking and all my thoughts about God with other people and hopefully inspire them and teach them to do the same.
So good. Thank you. Yeah, someone's going to share their gift of chattiness to encourage others. Anyone else? Any other hands up? Quiet people also allowed to share at this point. Oh, did you see a hand up over there? Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Hi. I think possibly my gift, it seems to be encouragement.
Great.
I managed to get one very sore person from another church to, you know, continue with his discipleship. I've done that twice. And then, yes, I got another person from another church to, you know, to have a proper baptism. And she's going a long, long way.
Thank you very much. Any other thank you, gift of encouragement? Any other hands up? And Andrew will keep hold of the mic because he holds it to you. Any other gifts? I'll let you. Oh, is that a hand there in the middle?
I was seeing a couple of nervous hands.
Okay.
This was a hand, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm about to get a moving house soon. We're moving together and at some point. And we were saying we're going to try and be, it's quite an obvious thing, but really intentional with inviting people around when we can, obviously. But try and make it into a space and thinking about the difference between like hospitality and hosting in a way of it's a place that people can come anytime. But that doesn't mean we have to, you know, they can just come and watch TV with us or something like that. We don't have to make it into a big dinner party or something. Yeah. I don't know.
That kind of messy hospitality of being around. Yeah. I love that. We're all looking forward to our invitations.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you. Was there another hand up? Yeah. Hand up over there. A nervous hand. Oh, was this a nervous hand? No. Nope. No. Any other? Cool. Well, you can have some more conversations about that in car park afterwards because it's not too cold. So Andrew, I think we're coming over to you now. What is the point? What's the point in all of this? What's our vision for creating a welcoming community in the Six?
Is it a cop-out at this point in a panel discussion in church to say, well, the answer is Jesus?
The answer is always Jesus.
I think the answer is always Jesus. But I think that is the point, right? To be building a community that's modelled on the kind of community that Jesus built around him when he was on earth with his disciples. And I think ultimately our heart has got to be to see more people turn to Jesus as Lord and Saviour in our corner of South East London. Amen. And not just to turn to Jesus, but to be welcomed into a thriving community where we are discipling one another and serving those in need. I think that's what it's about. And I think if there's something we've come back to again and again in our conversations in the build-up to tonight and then again this evening, it's that none of us can be the collective body of Christ on our own. And in a city where there is an app where you can get just about anything delivered or done in the next 24 hours on your own, and you can just, a few clicks and it happens, I think there's something countercultural about the way God has called us to be church, that actually none of us can do it on our own. There isn't an app that's a solution. Actually, there's a real beauty. I think there's something really quite distinctive about the part we have to play in loving one another, deepening in relationship with one another, encouraging each other in faith and in prayer and in our study of the Bible, in seeking justice, and so on and so on. So I guess the last thing I just wanted to say before we get onto the practicalities, it's been our heart for a while that this space, the Six, becomes a space which is particularly welcome to our younger people in the church family. And I think there is no point in Romans, as far as I'm aware, Jenny, you can correct me if this is wrong, but there is no point, I don't think, where Paul qualifies his comments and says, well, once you're a certain age, or until you reach such an age at the other end of the spectrum, this is a totally inclusive call on all of us. And I just think it's such a relief to me, and I'm sure it will be to others, that this is a call on all of us, not in our own strength, but in God's strength.
Yeah, great. Becky, some practicals from you. These guys have got an amazing set of gifts, including very practical gifts, and we'll be heading up kind of, I don't know how to call it now, our welcome, our community team, our kind of, our vision for this. Tell us some practicals.
Yeah, I guess just three areas we would like to look at when we're talking about community. One is how we're being welcoming in all aspects of the service, so in our prayer, in our talk, word, and what's
worship.
How all of those three things are welcoming and inclusive spaces for everybody. The second is the getting involved on the night. That won't just be welcoming at the back, but how we're welcoming in the keep saying pews. There are no pews, chairs, seats. So people, making people feel welcome in the space, building connections. And then the third is around how we build connection and discipleship throughout the week. So how we get people plugged into midweek home groups or prayer partnerships and things like that, so that it's not just welcoming on a Sunday night, it's building a community. Always.
Awesome. Great. So we're going to do what we've done in recent weeks. The first thing we want to do is just invite anybody who, in this context of this community, I'm going to do this in two parts. In the context of this, of the Six, if you like, this is where my gifts fit with God's call. I want to commit to the welcome, creating the welcome of Jesus in this community by being in touch with Andrew and Becky and kind of being looped into the stuff that they're doing. We're going to do a second thing because, as we've been saying, this actually isn't just about a team who do it. It's actually about a whole community. But the first call that we're going to give is to pray for those who are like, I want to be part of a particular, to take on this as my particular call for this community. We'll do what we've done before and all stand up if you're able to, please. Thank you. And And yeah, as I say, we'll do this in two parts. And the first is just to kind of commission and pray for and bless those who are like, I want to make this a welcoming space, and I'm going to commit myself to that. I know, well, Andrew and Becky are going to do that, so we want to commit and to commission them in that work. Anyone else who we can just pray for? We're going to be praying for God's gifts of encouragement. That's a spiritual gift. God's gift of love. God's love to be poured out in your heart. If you're up for being a part of that team, being a welcoming team, put a hand up and we will pray for you. And if you're still thinking about it, that's also fine. Can't see any hands up at the moment. That's fine. Let's pray for... Oh, over here. Great. Oh, I can see two hands up. Sorry. Great. A couple of hands up over here. If you can see a hand up near you, pray for those people. And I'm just going to pray for Andrew and Becky as well. We can pray for them too. And then we're just going to pray for everyone. Lord, you can pray while I'm praying if you wish. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those who you have given this wide open, welcoming heart to. Thank you that this is in your character, that you say enlarge the space of your tent, widen the gateposts. Thank you that you say the kingdom of God is like a wedding feast. Thank you that you say come on in, come those that are weary and heavy laden. Thank you that you say come those that are thirsty. Thank you that you say, come those who are hungry, and you welcome again and again. And I thank you for these among us who have this particular call to extend that welcome. I pray for Andrew and Becky. Thank you for the heart that you've put in them. Thank you for others who you've put this heart in, that you want to that they want to share in this welcome that you give. We ask that you would anoint them, send your Holy Spirit on them, make them encouragers, give them the gifts of generosity and hospitality. Confirm them in this calling, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're now going to pray for everyone, because as we've heard, there's not one among us who doesn't have gifts in whom God is using to create God's kingdom, Jesus's community here. So well, let's all put our hands up, and I'm just going to pray for us all, and then we'll wait. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come among us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you've been doing for 2,000 years, taking groups of people and making them into bodies, taking people with different skills and gifts and interests and passions and perspectives, and uniting them in a way which witnesses to the world and the heavenly realms. Would you do that among us, Jesus? Thank you. Would you pour love out into us? Would you pour your love out? Thank you that each one of us has been welcomed. Thank you that every one of us is beckoned into your kingdom. And with the welcome that we've received, the love that we've received, would we overflow? Would this be an overflowing place of love and welcome? I pray against doubt. The doubt that says, I haven't got what it takes. I haven't got the chat. I haven't got the faith. I haven't got the character. I pray against the lies that say, oh, but I'm not the right person. Lord, thank you that in you, every one of us has a part to play. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you knit us together. And I thank you for those, just thinking of those who among us might have the gift of evangelism, to welcome people in who aren't currently here. The gift of inviting. Might just be a few of you, and I won't ask you to put your hands up, but I think there are some of us here who've got that gift who have got that longing to invite. Thank you for the inviters among us, Lord. Thank you for those who, in the weeks and months and years to come, will invite people along, who'll take that risk. Encourage them, Lord, in that gift, we pray. Encourage them in that gift. Give them opportunity.
because we want people to see your love and welcome, to know who you are, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, would you draw people to this tapestry, this patchwork, this glorious thing that you're doing among us that is living and alive and messy and changing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.